Ken Bernstein, Marshall Harris, The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on 670 The Score.
Final seconds. Terry will not take the shot. It'll be a 123-111 New Orleans victory on opening night. Nice showing by New Orleans. Some good signs for the Bulls. Lonzo Ball back in action. And his former club, some good things offensively, but the turnover is the story.
Yeah, that's one story, I guess. The turnovers and the fact that they're really small. They are a very small basketball team. And they're even smaller when Patrick Williams can only get one defensive rebound in 24 minutes.
They could have used Master P himself out there, maybe, you know.
He was a player.
I know. That's why I said it.
He had his little CBA appearance.
He was in preseason doing work.
Yeah.
I was like, this is wild. At the time, this is wild.
Darnell Mayberry is on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry, NBA writer at The Athletic, and also the founder of Money Talks. You can visit moneytalks101.substack.com to look at his efforts to educate some on financial planning and financial literacy. But he's here to talk Bulls on the Score Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, Darnell. Happy basketball season.
How you guys doing?
I mean, we're doing better than the Bulls right now. How was that experience? Minus Zion Williamson, I know Trey Murphy didn't play either, but I mean that's what we were looking to tune into, and we thought, okay, Bulls might have a chance with no Zion, but yeah, man, it seems like it's going to be a long season for those of us who watch the Bulls on a regular basis.
Yeah, it was a fun game for about a half. You know, Zach LaVine entertained us for the second quarter, and then he couldn't stop turning the ball over along with the rest of the crew. So if they want to play fast, they got to figure out a way to take care of the basketball and be able to make some shots. I mean, they talk about getting up three-point shots, so that's one thing, but being able to make them is another. And so, Dan, you mentioned, of course, the size. There was one possession last night I was sitting there looking like, man, it would help to have more than one person over 6'10" on the roster. But then I looked at the Pelicans roster. They didn't even have a lot of size on the floor at the time. So I'm like, you know, it's not just a matter of height. It's athleticism, and it's a matter of will, too. Patrick Williams getting one rebound, unacceptable. I think what he ended up finishing with, three, or did he finish with one?
I think he had two offensive and just the one defensive in 24.
Yeah, he had three
minutes.
Total rebounds, which ranked him seventh on the team. Eighth on the team.
Yeah, I saw at one point Kobe White had eight, a game high eight at one point, and I couldn't believe it. And Vucevic ended up, I think, finishing with 11. But, you know, it's a lot of young guys that you can, you know, root for, hope that they develop. But then it's also just an awkwardly structured roster where you still got Zach LaVine out there and Nikola Vucevic out there taking up the majority of the shots while you say you want young players like Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, and so forth to develop.
Is this a situation where they just start the season with guys just on the block and it's just a matter of how long it takes before other teams show interest? I'd have to imagine this team will look very different after the trade deadline.
You know, I think that would be the logical reasoning.
Oh, don't say it like
Marshall,
that, Darnell.
But I just, when have we seen it? We don't. This front office just hasn't proved to us that they are interested in making those deals at the deadline to pick a lane one way or the other, whether they're going to go for improving the team or tearing down the team and try to bring in some assets for the future. So, and then, you know, you hear all of these people around the league talk about how many trade offers there were for certain guys like Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, and so forth. And then they pass on these offers. So, you know, you can have deals on the table, but the Bulls have to accept them at some point.
I was encouraged by the fact that we had DNP CDs for both Javon Carter and Torrey Craig. Now, this goes back to the play-in last year when they didn't play all that much. Is it at least a good sign that those minutes can go to younger players?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I thought was going to happen coming into this season. And I'm glad that at least in the first game we saw that. Now, Billy might say, okay, we're not going to average 21 turnovers this season. So get in there, Javon Carter or Torrey Craig, and make smart decisions. But you saw him use Julian Phillips last night as the ninth man, and then he used Modest Bouzelis as the 10th man or the 11th man in sparing minutes. So, you know, he's playing the young guys, and he's giving them room to develop, opportunities to grow, and that's what you want to see this season from this Bulls team.
Josh Giddey, a minus 22 to rank dead last in that category of plus minus. What were your initial thoughts of him in real basketball action? 14 points, three turnovers to go along with just only three assists. I think that's what shocked me, is that he only had three assists. What were your impressions of Josh Giddey, or as I call him, Josh Giddey, no D?
Oh, wow. I like it. So I had a lot of thoughts on Josh, and he's going to be interesting to watch all season. We know his areas of weakness, the perimeter shooting, man defense, keeping his guy in front, things like that. Free throws, which we saw last night on display, 4 of 7, I think he was, from the free throw line. So those are things that, as from the point guard position, you're going to want a guy who can get up there and knock down free throws at minimum toward the end of the games, especially. And then on the positive side, I liked his rebounding ability. I think he only had like 4, but defensively, you know, he really goes in there and uses his size and length to help on the defensive glass. So I like that. And then even though he's not great keeping his man in front, he's got length to recover. And I think we're going to see that all season. He can make some plays once he's beat, recovering defensively.
I'm not quite sure how the Lonzo Ball thing is supposed to work if you're a coach, because you're trying to do right by him in a season where wins aren't necessarily the priority anyway, and you're only given a handful of minutes that you're trying to space out as you're figuring out all these rotations. Now, it's clear that we're learning with Lonzo can still, he still has vision. He's still got his size and his vision and his ability to shoot his standstill shot. I was a little concerned about his change of direction defensively, Darnell, about teams starting to attack the first step or the change of direction, making him get through screens, pin downs, turnouts, etc. So I think the league is going to learn what they can exploit in what's left of his game, but there seems to be an obligation that the Bulls have to work him back in.
Yes, it's interesting that you point that out, because in real time, CJ McCollum, I'm watching it, and CJ McCollum, it shows you how ruthless professional sports can be.
Yep, I thought
and
the same thing.
He had a drive, he attacked him relentlessly, and he just went straight at him to the basket and scored. Now, to Lonzo Ball's credit, he came down on the other end and nailed a three-pointer. And so, you know, that shows you Lonzo Ball's not backing down from any competition. But these guys aren't going to take advantage. I mean, they're not going to take it easy on him. They're going to come at him, and he's going to have to find a way to keep up, especially defensively, especially fighting through screens, which was one of the points Billy Donovan harped on last night after the game, and how much better the entire team needs to be at the point of attack, fighting through screens. And so Lonzo Ball is going to have to navigate that. And you're right, Billy Donovan has his work cut out for him as well, trying to, you know, he can't come out and say that they're not trying to win. He's got to try to win games. He's got to develop young guys, and he's got to monitor Lonzo's situation and get him good minutes, quality minutes. And so it's a tough coaching job for Billy. And you know, I really don't understand a lot of the criticism on Billy, especially given the roster that he's been given this season.
Darnell, much appreciated. Is there anything we need to know about the latest that is going on with Money Talks?
I appreciate you asking. Last I checked, I believe we are in 38 states and 35 countries, so we're growing and we're helping people learn to become financially literate and really make wholesome decisions that can impact their lives in a well-rounded way. And so that's what we're doing. I believe you said it earlier, moneytalks101.substack.com for anyone who's interested in that sort of thing. It's about health and wellness, not just finance.
That's great. You're doing great stuff. Darnell, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate you, Darnell. You can tune in this Saturday from 4 to 6:45, a special edition of Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi live from United Center. That's before the Bulls' home opener against the Thunder. They'll be playing the second of a back-to-back. They got to go at Milwaukee on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Arturis Karnisovas of the Bulls scheduled to join us at 5:30. We'll be joined by several other special guests as well and get you set for the game that night. All of that can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Shane Waldron, the Bears offensive coordinator, spoke. We will listen and we will react next on The Score.